You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us so, so much. We're grateful, God, for your blessings upon us daily. We're grateful for the friendships and the love that we can share with one another. We're grateful for Jesus being willing to go to the cross for us. So please help us, God, just to share that love and your love with one another. God, today give us hearts that are soft, minds that are open, to be able to be like your Son more and more as you bring us into a deeper and deeper relationship with you. We love you. We thank you for your word. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team and church. It's great to be together. You know, if you're visiting today, warm welcome. Thank you so much. It's great to see so many new faces. I'm glad that you're here with us. Sometimes, you know, the Bible, and you look at a scripture that you have to preach on, and it's a pretty hard-hitting message. And that's kind of one of those today. And so I was sharing with some of the brothers, I was feeling a burden today of responsibility to handle the word properly today and to share it in the right way. But sometimes we need to kind of have a family talk. And so today is kind of a bit of a family talk message. And it's going to be one of two parts. So we'll do some today and some at midweek on Wednesday, where we'll get more into the practicals and the practicalities of the message. So if we're looking through the book of 1 John, an amazing, all of John's letters, all of his writings are really amazing. And so what we've discovered and seen so far is that there is a concern that John has for the house churches that are in Ephesus. And we see that there are these antichrists, or these opponents of Jesus, who are leading the disciples away from their faith in Christ. And so John says to them, listen, stand firm, stay true to the gospel message that you've had all along. Do not waver. Doesn't matter what people are saying. If friends of yours are leaving the gospel, if people are deserting, if leaders are trying to lead you astray, you stand firm. He also says, listen to the Holy Spirit who's within you. He's enough to be able to teach you the truth when you have doubts about your faith, doubts about doctrine and theology. He's enough. And he says to them, listen, walk in the light. I know last week we had the campus service and Ryan was mentioning this about walking in the light, really obeying Jesus, following him. Don't compromise on our faith. Don't allow sin and lawlessness to creep back into our lives. So this is the message that he is laying out. And then what we see at the end of in the middle of chapter 3, verse 10, we see this. And he says, this is how we know we are children of God. Who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. I know Ryan mentioned this last week, and I was like, whoa, that's a hard-hitting part of the gospel message. I'm going to focus in on the second part of this today, which is the call to love one another. To love one another. And as I said, there's a second part from verses 19 through 24, which is where we'll cover in midweek. But it's really important that we understand John's continual reminder in his gospel, but also in the letters, that this is our chief responsibility, loving God and loving one another. Because I think it's the best way that we can reflect the character of God and our true Christ-likeness is through how we love one another. Satan may not be able to tempt us to rob a bank, okay, or to do some grand crime of some kind, but he can absolutely minimize our relationships with one another. And in doing so, we potentially are not then loving as God wants us to love, and we are not being the child of God that he has called us to be if we only ever operate on a superficial, shallow level of love. That's what the Bible teaches. And so we have to learn constantly, how do we go deeper in our love for one another? So let's have a look at the text for today. So in verse 11, this is what we see. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. He's saying nothing's new. This is the same message that Jesus taught. We should love one another. Verse 14, We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. So he's saying here that a mark of our salvation is how we love one another. We know that we've gone from death and from sin to life and to righteousness through the depth of our love and our relationship with one another. Anyone who does not love remains in death. That's powerful. Anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer like Cain. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in them. These are hard-hitting scriptures. So we're going to discover today, why does God want us to love in this way? What's amazing is about 30% of the entire New Testament writings are devoted to the concept of love. That's a third of all the New Testament writings. And most of those are actually calling us to love other people and to love one another. What kind of love, though, is John talking about here? That's the important thing for us to understand, first of all. So as I know many of you probably are aware that there are different words within the Greek language to define love. And we tend to see the two words that are kind of used in the New Testament being these. So we have agape love and phileo love. Phileo love is what's known as brotherly love. It's the warm affection that we have for one another. It's the nice hug that we give to each other. Hey, great to see you. It's that warm affection. I remember coming to church for the first time in 1995. And I remember us walking through the door and just seeing phileo love like I had never seen it ever before. Can any of you relate to that? There was a warmth, a bond, a connection, a family spirit that was powerful and palpable. You could feel it in the room. And I just sat and I saw the relationships and was like, this is amazing. I have never seen anything like that. So phileo love is really powerful. It has its place within our community. It is amazing. But then on top of that, we see the second type of love, which is agape. And agape is genuine concern for one another. It is real care. It's rolling up our sleeves, and it's being willing to meet the needs of someone else outside of yourself. It's looking for the interests of others, not only for the interests of ourselves. It's more than the side hug and a nice smile. It's more than, hey, hope everything's doing okay. Oh, but don't tell me. It's more than that. There's a depth of love involved that means I'm willing to get involved in your life because I love you that much to try and help make a difference. It's love in action. I'm sure you've heard of C.S. Lewis. He says that agape love is the highest form of Christian love. And he termed it as gift love. So agape love is gifting one another with acts of service, with acts of kindness, with meeting needs, with getting deeply involved, as I said, with one another. Both of them are necessary. Phileo love and agape love, they both have their place within our community. But there is a maturing of love that takes place, that goes from phileo into agape love, so that we are truly loving like God and like Christ. So when we look at the text that I just read, this is what it reads. For this is a message you heard from the beginning. We should agape one another. This is the Greek word. He doesn't use phileo. He's using agape here. We know that we have passed from death to life because we agape one another. Not just warm side hug each other. We agape one another. Anyone who does not agape remains in death. This is powerful. This is powerful. But it makes a difference. We all need these levels of relationships within our lives. Every one of us. And I know that it is happening so much within our community. But it's the type of thing that is always an upward calling. Because none of us are loving quite like Christ yet. None of us are loving quite like God loved us yet. But that is the goal. That's where we're working towards. You know, in 1 Peter, we see him also reminding the church that there is a graduation and a maturing that takes place within our depths of love for one another. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. He says, look, by obedience to the truth, so by becoming disciples of Jesus, you purified yourselves for genuine, sincere, phileo love for one another. So he says, listen, you became disciples, you came into a family of believers, and you love one another with warm, brotherly, sisterly love and affection. He says, that's awesome, that's fantastic. But then he says, now love, agape love, one another earnestly, fervently, from a pure heart. So again, we see that it has to go from the phileo love, needs to mature into the agape love. You know, I have, as you many of you know, three sons, aged 20, 18, and 16. And all three of them phileo love one another because they're brothers, okay? But because they're brothers, they don't always agape love one another. Anyone relate to that? And so much of our parenting goes into trying to help them to agape love each other and agape love us. Hey, could you make me a coffee? Oh, water! Like something as small as that. It's such a struggle. You know, today is my wife's birthday. And two of the brothers were, as breakfast was being made, two of them were phileo loving their mother while they were asleep and we were making breakfast. One of them was agape loving their mother by making breakfast and helping to make breakfast. I'm not going to call you out, sons. You know who you are. But it's difficult because it's so easy just to do the nice smiley face, wave, oh, I love you. And we know it's genuine, it's true. But that depth of love to say, do you know what? I'm going to get out of bed, go and serve. What can I do? How can I help? Because it's your birthday, because I love you so much. Agape love takes sacrifice. It takes effort. It takes denial. It takes stepping out of our comfort zones, which we so easily can just sit back in. But it takes family and community to build that. My wife and I, we have to be training our kids and calling them to agape love. That's part of our job as parents. But that's also part of our responsibility as a community of believers to calling one another towards what? Love and good deeds. Agape love. We all have to call each other to that responsibility. How many of you have seen this before? No? Some of you have. Okay, so this is a way of looking at church. And basically it says circles over pews, basically, okay? So community, looking at each other in the eye as a church, is more powerful than just sitting in rows, okay? I kind of agree with that, but I also disagree with it a little bit. Because I think they all have their place, both have their place in the community of God. So this is how I would put it. So Sunday services, we sit in rows like this, and they're really important. Because we get to learn, we get to encourage one another. There's lots of phileo or filial love that is happening within when we sit in rows like this. Very important, very necessary. People come in, friends come, and they experience the phileo love that we have. Midweeks, I think they're a little bit of a mixture. We kind of sit in rows, but we do group work together. We get into community, we get real, we get deep, we share burdens and cares with one another. It's a beautiful thing. And then we have small groups where it is majority agape love, where we really get involved in each other's lives. All of them are equally important when it comes to love. None of them are less, I think, than each other. The reason why we have to have them, and the reason why I think even the small groups are so vital, because that is the primary place where agape love is able to be fostered and develops. Now, small groups, though, must be small for that to happen. There's a reason why Jesus only chose 12 disciples, 12 apostles. And this is the Son of God, by the way, who's like, nope, 12's my limit. Because it's, now, he had the 72 and there were many others, but in terms of who he was able to invest in on a deep level, it was 12. And I think there's some significance there. So even within our small groups, it's so important that they remain small. Not just these giant blobs of people, but small enough so that we can really deeply share agape love with one another. We need it. Our community needs it. The world needs it. So we need to shrink so that we can have quality over quantity in our love for each other. There's a book that I'm reading at the moment this wasn't Cliff Notes. I'm actually reading this book. And it's called Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You. Great book. And it's all about neurotheology and leadership. If you're a small group leader, I would highly recommend this book as well. And it talks about how we all come into a relationship with God as broken people. Anyone relate to that? Absolutely. Some of us come in with trauma. And what happens is that God then puts us on this pathway to maturity, both emotionally and spiritually. But in order to become mature, and the goal is that ultimately for us to become mature in Christ. So we focus on Jesus so that we can become mature in Christ. But part of that is that we need one another. None of us can mature in Christ by ourselves. None of us are able to become the full image of Christ that God has in store for us just on our own. We need community. Take a look at what it says in Ephesians 4. You may not be able to read it. It's a bit small. So it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It says here that our goal is to all of us to be like Christ, for this community of believers to be so mature in Christ. But it takes us speaking the truth in love to one another. It takes real community in order for that to happen, for each part to be doing its work. So in the book that I'm reading, it says this: maturity is often blocked due to the lack of life-giving relationships. So in other words, if our relationships only ever stay at phileo love, we will not mature, we will not grow spiritually into the full maturity that Christ wants us to. We will limit ourselves. You see, the quality of our relationships is not just the hug, holding each other accountable for things. There is a depth of relationship that God wants us to imitate, and it's that depth of relationship that Jesus had with his disciples. Life-giving relationships. It's God's relationship with us on an ongoing basis. Life-giving. It's the Holy Spirit's relationship with us when we let him. Life-giving. And so our agape relationships with one another must be truly life-giving. So when we spend time with one another, are they life-draining or are they life-giving? This is in the book that I'm reading, and it hit me just like it hit you then. That's important for us to understand. When I'm spending time with you, am I just draining your energy, or are we mutually giving, life-giving to one another? Now, as I said, we come in with trauma. We come in with baggage, but we need to learn to help one another to know how to mature in our relationships in such a way that we're not a burden to one another, but we are trying to grow to be like Christ with one another. Like I said on Wednesday, we need to get into the nuts and bolts and the practicals of what this looks like. So let's take a look at this. This is, I think, how we begin to do it. So in 1 John 3:17 and 18, it says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or with speech, but with actions and truth. So it's here, it's saying, don't just love by your words only. Keep warm and well fed, as it says in James. No, be willing to love with action and with truth. Speaking the truth in love to one another. Hey, brother, sister, you know when we spend time, I feel like it's just one way. It is draining. What's going on? I can't maintain this depth of relationship this way. I want to walk with you. I want to grow with you. But hey, you need to give more of yourself in this relationship. We need to have those conversations with one another. We love with truth. Really calling people to where we need to be. But also we love with action as well. Hey, what are the needs? How can I help? I was so encouraged this week. One of the brothers met with two of my sons on the same day, I think. He did some science mentoring with one of them, tutoring with one of them, and then he mentored another one spiritually as well. That's agape love. So encouraged that that is happening in our community. And I know that there are so many examples of that, but it shouldn't be just one person here, one person there. Everybody, all of us, has to take the responsibility to have one relationship at least where we're offering agape love mutually to each other. Does that make sense? And if all of us were to do that, would there be any needs not met? No. But unfortunately, I think sometimes people slip through the cracks. We're not really invested as we should be because it's so easy just to focus on ourselves and my needs. And then we become life draining rather than life giving. So as we finish, let's have a look at some of the things that we can do. So we need to be in relationships that give and receive life, okay? Every relationship needs to be able to do this. And if we're not quite able to, we need to help that person mature to be able to get to that place. I was listening to a podcast this week, and they were talking about the problem of relationships today are caused by an over-reliance on technology. Lots of people are working remotely and are just losing the ability to even just to interact with people. People are becoming isolated. People are becoming lonely. They're moving and then being separated from their families. And then there's this culture of individualism that is very pervasive within our society. And then we wonder, why do we find it so hard to be a family, a real family in the church? We've got all those things that we're up against. It's very difficult and very challenging. And so I think if you think about then all of these different ways and things that we can do, praying for one another, helping each other financially, making food for one another, spending time talking and mentoring one another. I think one of the biggest challenges to our community is time itself. Time is so precious. Busy city like LA takes ages to get different places. It's hard. But it is so vital that we're willing to sacrifice time. That is how I think we can love one another with agape love. We do have an amazing blessing, though, of being part of a multicultural, multi-generational community. This is pretty rare in churches. But, again, we must not take for granted, just because we have this, that it is immediately having the agape love impact that it should be. It takes work to do that. Real Christian communities are involved in each other's lives, as I said, but it has to be intentional. We cannot just sit back and hope that someone else is going to come to me and encourage me, and we sit there waiting. I wonder if anyone's going to come up. We have to be on the front foot. And if all of us were to do that, we all, as I said, have those relationships and those responsibilities to love one another. I think we have an amazing church, and I know you do too. But let us not just take it for granted. Take one another for granted, okay? God is calling us to gift love one another, I think like never before. And we're up against it because society is saying, hey, you only need superficial relationships. Where God is saying, no, it's time to get deeper. That we must love one another as Jesus loved us. So, actually I'll come back to that. So as we get ready to take communion, in verse 16, it says, this is how we know what agape is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we have a duty to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We have a duty. In the NIV, it says we ought to, like it was an option. In the Greek, it says, this is your responsibility. We have a duty to lay down our lives for one another. So if Jesus went this far to agape love us, let us go this far for one another in our love with each other. So I have a prayer for the week that I would like us to all embrace, okay? This is the prayer. Lord, teach me how to agape love. Give me the heart to agape love. Help me see the needs to agape love and the strength to agape love. And this doesn't mean that we need 20 different relationships to carry this out, because that's exhausting. It could be just one or two that we decide, let's agape love with each other and just see what God will do. So as we take communion and you reflect on this, even just start today and just pray this prayer as we give thanks for Jesus for all that he has done. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you were willing and that Jesus was willing to go to the cross for our sake, and that he was willing to die a brutal death for our sake, that he was willing to lay down his life for us so that we then can love one another with the same love that he showed to us. Forgive us, Father, when we are selfish, when we are self-focused, God, when we limit ourselves and we limit you. Sorry, Father, just for our restrictions that we place on the amount of love that we will show for one another. We just pray, God, that we will continually look to Jesus, that we remove ourselves out of the way, and as we focus and fix our eyes on him, that he will create within us the most beautiful love that this world needs to see. Thank you for him. I'm excited to see what you will do. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.